Take your Bible. Take your Bible, look in Matthew chapter 6. We're talking about prayer. And we were talking about prayer last week and how the Nehemiah prayed and he was fasting and praying and God showed him about going back and rebuild the temple. And we talked about last week, we talked about the temple being destroyed. Jesus said, my house is called the house of prayer and you made it a den of thieves. Now, how many of y'all know what the new temple in the New Testament is? The New Testament temple is your body. And the Lord said, my house is a house of prayer, and you made it a den of thieves. I've run into Christians everywhere, and I say, let's pray, and they say, I don't know how to pray. I want to say that's a shame. Christians ought to know how to pray. If anybody ought to know how to pray, Christians ought to know how to pray. I don't care if you've been saved for just a short time. When I first got saved, I didn't know nothing. I said, I don't know how to pray. But I started, and what a preacher showed me was what God wants is an honest confession from you. God wants you to talk to him. And you know, I mean, I realize the Lord's holy, and he is holy. But God wants you to talk to him as if you were talking to your friend. And not just high, holy type, you know, prayer. If you go into the temple, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy, put on a show. He's not talking about that. And the Pharisees did that. That's people putting on a show. And you see these people putting on, I like to hear Southerners pray. I love to hear Southerners. I love to hear I love to hear children pray. I love to hear people pray. I used to go, when I went to Bible school in South Carolina, and the church was about 1,500 folks. Under Dr. Seidler, where Oliver Green went to church, Jack Green, them old-time preachers. And they had a prayer room up in the back. And all the men visited that prayer room before church started. Every service, they visited the prayer room. And boy, you talking about igniting a service. You talking about when people came in and started singing, it was ignited already. And those men went up in that prayer room, and Brother John Garner, we had to go through the choir. The choir held about 60 people, 70 people. And we walked through that prayer choir loft, and we went up to that back room where the choir met. And we go in there, and right as you're getting close to the door, as I walked up, I said, what in the world's going on? That first time I ever went in there, I went, what in the world's going on in there? And I walked up there, and I could hear it sounded like a fight going on. It sounded like men were in there arguing, fighting. And I mean, it was like, it sounded like I went, what in the world? And I remember I opened the door and there was a roar. And when I opened the door and went in, it was like, I mean, these guys were in there beating the floor, praying, beating the walls, asking God to do something. But it was a continuous. Men came an hour before church to pray. And they would go up in the room, and then they come out. And the whole time I was going up, I'd go up, there was men coming out. And then more men coming in behind, coming in to pray. And they went in that room, and they started praying. And boy, when the preacher got up to preach, man, I'm telling you what, it was like ignited in the service. Singing was on fire. And man, today, we have Christians, and I'm like, even in that day, we have Christians that don't know how to pray. They don't have a prayer life. I'm going to say, if you don't have a prayer life, if you don't know how to pray, then everything in your Christian life is just modified. If you don't know how to pray. I mean, it's not serious to you. And Jesus said, pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Pray without ceasing. And I run into Christians that when you say, hey, why don't you pray? Well, I don't know how to pray. I'm afraid to pray. My grandkids sitting at the table, when we get ready to eat, I know every one of them is going to say, Papa, let me pray. Papa. So then I say, all y'all pray. They all pray. We go around the room. You say, I take a long time. Well, that's fine. Amen. That's fine. They need to learn how to pray. Your children need to know how to pray. Your grandchildren need to know how to pray. But Papa, Mama, Mama, Daddy, you need to know how to pray. You need to know how to get a hold of God. And I'm going to tell you something. If you don't, I'll show you a Christian is always discouraged. I'll show you a Christian that's always defeated. I'll show you a Christian that's not involved. I'll show you a Christian that doesn't give like he should or she should. I'll show you a Christian that's just living like hell and care less if you don't know how to pray. Boy, I tell you, you say, preacher, you're meddling here. No, I'm telling you the truth. Amen. I'm telling you the truth. If a Christian don't know how to pray, God help us. And I said, I went in that room, and when I went down to PBI, when I went down there, we started the same thing. We started going up in the room. I pray all the time in my office. Most of the time where I pray is right over the toilet. I pray over the toilet. It's just like, you know, I get down. I say, God, I know where I belong. I know how good you've been to me. And I pray, God, you bless me, Lord. I know I deserve to be in that toilet. But have mercy on me. Help me to help my people and God's people. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. If you don't have a desire to pray, there's something wrong. Jesus said in Matthew 21, take your Bible, take a look at Matthew 21, hold your place in Matthew 6, and look at Matthew 21. I told you I was going to be preaching on prayer for a while. And Matthew 21, look what it said. Matthew 21. Now, I want you to remember now, the New Testament, the temple of God is you if you're saved. And I always run into people, first thing I ask when people come to me in trouble, I say, are you reading your Bible? And you know, a lot of people can do that. They can read their Bible. Some of them read your Bible. I had a guy I went to school with now. Let me tell you this. I went to school with this guy. His name was Jim Fuller. I've got a lot of his books with his name on it. This guy was he had a brain. And this guy memorized scripture. He memorized the whole book of Romans. He memorized the Greek alphabet, all the Greek alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet. He knew it all, man. He studied everything. He knew all that stuff. And he was like helping tutoring me. And this guy, I really looked up to him and everything. And then one day I get a call that he had got locked up. We were in Bible school now. Remember this. We're in Bible school, and he got locked up for molesting his daughter. I went, no. No. I cried. I cried over it. His wife lived with us with their daughter, Summer. Her name was Summer. And how they called him was that when her Summer's little girlfriend came over the house and he tried to molest her. She went home, told her parents, and the parents called the police and locked him up. And you say, were you for it? Yeah, lock that sucker up. So I cried and I cried and I said, man, I don't understand this. This guy memorized the Bible. I mean, the Romans, he had all this stuff down and everything. You know what his wife said to us one night sitting at the table? We prayed. His wife, she said this. She said, you know, Brother Allen, she said, I never seen him pray. Never heard him pray. Got Bible knowledge. See, knowledge puffeth up. Some of y'all maybe got Bible knowledge, but you don't know how to pray. You don't know how to get a hold of God. Peter, some of the shortest prayers gets a hold of God. Peter was out on the water and he said, Lord, help! And the Lord reached out and grabbed him. Some of the shortest prayers. And Peter got a hold of God. And Matthew 21, look what it says in Matthew 21, look at verse 13. And he said unto them, it is written, my house, talking about his house. Now you're at this house now. Be called the house of what? But you have made it a den of thieves. Now, would the Lord look at your house and call you a den of thieves? Would he look at you and say, man, y'all made my house a den of thieves? You're in it for yourself. That's all you're in this thing for. You don't know how to pray. You don't know seek me. You don't seek my face about nothing. You just live like a little boy went over to a family's house and they were sitting down to eat dinner and he was waiting for them to pray. And he said, don't y'all pray in this house? And they said, no, we don't pray. And he said, well, that's just like my dog. He don't pray either. He just eats. I hope you pray over your food. I hope when you go out to eat, you're embarrassed to pray and look around. Anybody gonna look at me? Sometimes I'll get real loud in there. So you're just putting on a show. No. I want people to know, hey, man, you need to pray. You need to call on God. The shortest prayer, you ask the Lord to save you. Well, if you know how to ask God to forgive you and come into your heart, we take people in the back. They say, well, I don't know how to pray. I understand if a lost man don't know how to pray. But here we are. We're talking about saved people that don't know how to pray. You know why I believe this, why our country's in the mess it is? It's because we have some people that's in charge, and preachers don't preach the Bible anymore, and, man, people don't pray anymore. When's the last time you prayed for your country? Amen. Prayer meeting is the least attended service there is in all for the church. Least then why? People don't see prayer as important. I'm going to tell you something. Prayer, a preacher said one time, he said, it was Bob Jones Sr., he said, every tragedy in life is a prayer tragedy. And you before you take a job, before you sign for a loan, before you do anything, you better be praying. Yeah. You better be praying. Before I even go to the doctor's office, I pray. I went and seen the doctor the other day and get a health checkup and went to see him and talk to him. I pray. I said, Lord, God, help me now. Now look at this, Matthew chapter 6. Look at verse 6. Back up to verse 5. And when thou prayest, the Lord says to this, his disciples, he said, when thou prayest, which unto thy father. Now how many of y'all call God your father? Amen. You know what you can do? When you pray, you say, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, I have a father in heaven. He hears my prayer. Now, I had a lady last week misunderstood me. She said, she thought I said, God doesn't hear your prayer. I said, no, God does hear your prayer, but he doesn't answer. Sometimes he says, yes, no, not now. Especially for a child of God. He never leave you nor forsake you. She misunderstood me. And now in the Old Testament, the Bible says, thou will not regard iniquity, thou will not hear my prayer. Psalm 66. David wrote that down. God ain't gonna hear it. Now, for a New Testament Christian, God hears your prayers. But he doesn't always answer when you think he ought to answer. He'll answer yes, no, or not now. And people get bitter at the Lord over that. Now, look at verse 5 again. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites. He says, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto thee, when they have their reward, the Lord says, they got what they wanted. They got their reward. Showing up, putting out there, making everybody think they're prayer warriors. He said, but thou, when thou prayest, enter in thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, like doing your beads, Hail Mary, full of grace, and all that. That's religion. Vain repetitions, saying it over and over, same prayer over and over and over. When God, like I said, when you come to God, he wants you to come to him and just pray sincerely whatever the need is. God, whatever the need is. The Bible tells us we ought to pray. And the Bible tells us that we ought to pray about things, and that we ought to pray every day. And we ought, it's like we read our Bible every day, we ought to be praying every day. Things in our lives. And the Lord says to his disciples on down, let's read on down. When thou prayest, enter thy closet. When thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do. See what he says? The heathen use vain repetition. And they use this, praying to Mary or praying to somebody else. The Bible says there's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Only one person you pray to is Jesus Christ and God the Father, God the Son. That's three, but it's three in one. And when you pray, use not vain repetitions, for the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. He says, be not ye therefore, verse 8, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Boy, aren't you glad of that? The Lord says, over in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says, or 19 says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God knows what you need. Now, you might think you need something, and you prayed about it, and God said, no, you ain't getting that. You might think that's what you need, and the Lord knows better. You know what I like? Take your Bible, hold your place right there. Go over to Romans chapter 8. Look at this. Look at Romans 8. Romans 8. We're talking about prayer now and your body being the temple, your body. Now, God destroyed two temples already in the Old Testament. He destroyed the first temple that was built because the Jews thought, ain't no way God's going to destroy the temple. No way. And Nebuchadnezzar comes down, destroys it. They rebuild it under Nehemiah. Nehemiah, Bible says he confessed his sins. We talked about that last week. He confessed his sin and the sins of the people. I believe when you come to God, you need to confess your sin. Now, that's not getting saved again. You're only saved one time, but you confess your sin. Why? On a daily basis, we get dirty. Being out in the world, we get dirty thoughts, dirty things, all kinds of stuff. If you sit there and say, that doesn't happen to me, you're a liar. You're lying right through your teeth. You better get right with God. Amen. You better pray and ask God to forgive you for lying. Lying is a sin. Amen. And in Nehemiah's day, Nehemiah went back and he cried and they rebuilt the temple. Ezra was there and training up the priests and all that. And then they go on and they're still under occupation and under Rome when Jesus shows up. Isn't that wild? The Lord chose to show up during the occupation of the Roman Empire. And when the taxation, when he was born, that's when taxes started in Jerusalem or in Israel. And the Lord had, Joseph had to go pay his taxes and all that. And Jesus paid taxes. So, and then the Lord says, you know, my house is a house of prayer. But then he said, the temple, the second temple, he said, you build this temple. It took 70 years. He said, and in 3 days, you destroy this temple and I'll build it up again. So they thought he was talking about the temple that was in Jerusalem. He was talking about his body. Guess what happened? 70 AD, the second temple gets destroyed. The second one. Now the third temple, they've got everything. When I go to Israel, I want to go to they have five temple mounts or five temple institutes. I've read up on this stuff. I want to go see it. They claim they got all the instruments to go back into the temple and rebuild it. They said they can rebuild the temple within 3 months. So that's how close we are. You say, is that temple? That's when the Antichrist goes inside the temple and claims that he's God. The rapture's got to take place first. I'm telling you, man, we're close. We're close. Third temple. Now, Romans chapter 8, look at verse 26. Talking about praying. We're talking about praying. The Bible says this, we know not, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. That's verse 28. For likewise, look what verse 26 says. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. When you're going through troubles, you got a comfort inside you. You got a comforter. The Lord give you that. Now, you're the temple. God's giving you a comforter inside the temple. That's the Holy Ghost. And that Holy Ghost is making intercession from within you. He's inside you. He's making intercession. He's down deep inside your heart. That's why the Bible tells us, don't grieve him. Why? The other two temples that were destroyed, God left them. He said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. You're the new temple, the New Testament temple. You're the new temple. He's inside you. He's put the Holy Ghost inside you. He sealed you. And you're telling me you don't know how to pray? And you don't pray? And you don't ask God about things in your life? What you should do, where you should go, what job you should have, how faithful you ought to be? I'm going to tell you something. God wants that things in your life. He wants you to be faithful. He's inside you. He said, my house is called the house of prayer. You made it a bunch of den of thieves. I hope when I get to heaven, the Lord don't say, you thief. You thief. That body was mine. That temple was mine. You never prayed. You never prayed in the Holy Ghost. He said, what do you mean praying in the Holy Ghost? You never prayed in the Holy Ghost that, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. You never prayed in the Holy Ghost. You've never felt the presence of God in your life. I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to feel the presence of God in your life, you'll feel it in church. You'll feel it when you're praying. You'll feel it when you're singing to him. Or you'll feel it when you're reading his word. And see, when Moses went up to the temple to minister in the tabernacle, the Bible says this, that the cloud came over the tabernacle and they could not, they had to back away. The thing got so thick in there. I like it when the Lord shows up and it gets thick. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? I like it when it gets thick. I like it when the Lord's moving all over the place. And you can feel it. Matter of fact, I can feel it right now. I can feel it when his presence is there. I'm not talking about the Lord ain't going to make you fall down and go like a minion or something. He don't do that. I mean, when you're praying, you feel his presence. I felt it, man, when I was going through some hard times. I felt it when his hand come up around me and said, okay, boy, it's going to be all right. You're going through a hard time? The old saying is the family prays together, stays together. Man, I prayed over things, and I said, Lord, you're not answering my prayer, so I called all the kids in. I said, if you're not answering my prayer, I'm going to get the kids in there. I said, here's what you need to pray to God for. And I get the kids praying. And I say, Lord, you got to hear them. Say, you believe God's that real? I know he is. I know he's that real. Look what it says in Romans 8. I'm going to tell you something. If you've never experienced it, if you never experienced his presence, I'm praying for you. Because no Christian should go through this life being saved and never experience his presence. The Bible says, you know, a lot of people have knowledge. They have knowledge. Oh, they know the Bible. But they wouldn't know how to get a hold of God. That boy, Jim Fuller, far as I know, he's still sitting in prison. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. You got some infirmities today? For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. A lot of times you think you know what you're praying for. But he says, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Look what verse 27 says. For he searches the hearts, he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So when you're praying, Lord, make me rich. Make me rich. God, give me money. Money, 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 money. Give me money. Help me hit the lottery. Help me go down here to Dover Downs and wipe it out. No. The Holy Ghost is going, oh, God, there he goes again. What an idiot. What an idiot. What a stupid idiot this guy is. And the Holy Spirit said, man, why I got to be in this guy? Man, this guy's driving me crazy. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God which is in you, which you have of God. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. You know when you grieve the Spirit. And then what happens is when you keep grieving him, it just gets natural to you. You don't feel his presence. You don't feel his presence. You say, has he left you? No, but you don't feel the presence. Well, I like it when his presence shows up. Ain't nothing like it, man. Boy, when you get in here and start singing, and you don't have to do it with a bunch of group of people. Just start singing by yourself. Man, tears start balling up in your eyes, and man, you start thanking him for his mercy. And boy, you start having a time of your life. And what happens is you'll get to the place where you don't want to leave him. You want him to stay right there. The Spirit of God is very sensitive. And it's sensitive about sin. And that's why you need to confess your sins. We talked about this last week. If you don't confess your sin, I believe when you first start praying, you ought to say, Lord God, if there's any sin in my life, if there's anything between you and me, cleanse me, God. Wash me. That my prayers be not hindered. If you don't do that, my. Look at Matthew chapter 6 now. Go back to Matthew 6. I'm not going to have time to finish all this today. But praying, you can pray. You can pray standing up. You can pray over in 1 Kings 8. Solomon stood there and stood up and prayed. Or 1 Kings 8, Elijah, I mean, prayed. You can bow down, Psalms 95. You bow down. You can kneel down. I tell our guys when you play, you know what? Folks, you ought to go to a softball game. Faith Baptist Church, far as I know, is the only church that gets down on their knees. Now, other people started because we started. I told Brother Squiggy when he first started doing softball, I said, make sure everybody on our team gets on their knees. And I watched the other teams. When our team got that, they get that, our guys get down like this. I'm not talking about just one knee. I'm talking about both knees. Some of them get down one knee. I like to see both guys on both, I mean, on both knees. So why is that? I don't, it's just something about it. I mean, God hears your prayer standing up, but it's something about humbling yourself. And they kneel down, and I watch them other guys, and Squiggy would pray, and they'd be down like this praying, and I watch that other team go like this. Look around like we're some kind of aliens. They never seen anybody get on their knees. You know what convicted me one time? I went to Mass in Philadelphia one night. I just wanted to see what it was like. I went up there to where Cardinal Newman's body was, and I watched Catholics must have kneeled, I guess, 10 times during the service. I was in there passing out tracts. They had a statue of Peter standing outside. I put tracts in both of his hands. It said, "Where will you spend eternity?" Had both of them in their both hands. With it.
Amen.
But what bothered me is I went in and I saw these Catholic folks doing it out of tradition. Christians don't even get on their knees for nothing. They don't pray. And you can fall down on your knees. You can fall on your face. I mean, you can be lying on your bed. I lay in my bed and pray. I don't know how many times I've told the Lord, I'm going to get on my knees before I pray, before I go to bed. I've been laying in bed, and I'd lay there, and the Lord said, "You didn't pray yet." And I'd be, "Oh, can I just lay here and pray, Lord?" And the Lord said, "Well, yeah, you can lay here and pray, but you told me you'd get on your knees." And I just, what I do, I jerk the covers back, and I'd fall on my knees, and I'd go down. I said, "Lord, forgive me." Why? You say, God hears your prayers anyway. God watches everything too. He sees you. And when he sees that you humble yourself before him, you know, the Bible says you humble yourself before God. He said, you abase yourself, he'll exalt you in due time. And the Bible says you can lay down. Hezekiah laid down. You can look up with your eyes open. I drive praying. Bible says pray without what? That's praying all the time. You ride down the road, somebody crosses your mind. What you ought to do, pray for them. Pray for the young couples of church. I thought this morning, I'm coming up the road, and I said, you know, all the young couples I've seen getting married here, I ought to start taking their pictures, and I'm going to put them in my phone so I can pray more for them. I want to see marriages last. We've seen marriages, people get married, and they fell apart, and we want to see marriages last. So, folks, I tell you what, I'd recommend that. You see a couple in the church, I mean, just take the picture. So I'm going to take your picture, not so you can post it on Facebook. Or put it all over, just get for your own possession, be able to say, I'm going to pray for this family. I'm going to pray for their children. Pray, God, put the fear of God in them. Look in Matthew chapter 6 again. Look on down. He said, when you pray, verse 7, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray. They call this the Lord's Prayer, but this is not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord didn't pray this for himself. He prayed it. He said, this is disciples. Here's what you pray. And there's nothing wrong with this prayer, but people use this as a vain repetition. The reason why we don't quote it here every service and all that stuff, because in most churches, all they do is a vain repetition. It's over and over and over. That's the only time they pray. And they repeat that and don't mean nothing. God wants sincerity from you, from the inward part. He wants you to be sincere. After this manner, therefore, pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven. Now, do you really mean that? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done? Do you really mean that? When you pray that, would you say, God, thy will be done? See, when a Christian, if you're saved, that's what you ought to be praying. Lord, your will be done in my life. Your will. So what about these people that die and this happens there in their life? You trust it in God's will. If God chooses, because he is the giver of life, he's the one that takes it away. It's his will. And you pray for his will. So when we say, thy will be done, he said, thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Everything in heaven has a representative down here, and everything down here has a representative there. So you got the, now let me explain this to you. You got the Holy Ghost of God inside you, right? Say amen. If you're saved. If you're not saved, you don't have the Holy Ghost. Now, if you're saved, also, on top of that, you got the Holy Ghost of God inside you. And then the Bible says in Psalm 34, 7, the angel of the Lord campeth around about them that fear him and delivers them. So you got an angel of the Lord that's around you to protect you. So if anything happens in your life, then God's allowed it. The Bible tells us this. It says, tribulation worketh what? Patience what? Experience. And experience what? Hope. Now, there's some things that happen in our life is our own doings. And what I mean by that, the Bible says, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. There's stuff I'm reaping from my past that I've done. And some of the things you're reaping right now is from your past. And he said, what do? You pray. Pray. God, don't let it come out on my kids. God, protect them. Don't let that happen, Lord. Please, God, be merciful to me. When last time you prayed for your family? Pray for your children. Pray for your grandkids. I've never found a time where Christians pray less, and we need more prayer now than ever before. And we're praying a lot less than we ever have. Christians don't know how to pray. And they go, what do I pray? Pray about your needs. The Bible tells us that men should always pray. Always pray. Lifting up holy hands. Take your Bible, look in 1 Thessalonians, or 1 Timothy. Look at this. 1 Timothy. It's important. I'm taking my time with this because I want you to get it. I want you to understand it. I want you to understand how important it is. Husbands, wives, praying. Children praying is so important, especially the Bible says, then the Bible says that it says that we should not forsake the assembly of ourselves together as their manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much to more as we see the day approaching, the day the Lord's coming back. We're supposed to be together more. So you say, well, most churches don't have Sunday night. Most churches don't have Wednesday night. They don't have all that. We've been doing it for, I've been here 30 years. We've been doing it for 30 years. We come together to pray. We come together to read, preach, exhort. That's what we're doing. We come together asking God and seeing people say. The Bible says that he says, I would that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Look on down. Look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse 1. We read on down. I'm going to read this, some of this scripture here. He says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou the faithful man who shall be able to teach others also. Therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. This is the Apostle Paul writing this. He's saying, endure it. Endure hardness. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier. If a man also strive for the mastery, yet he is not crowned except to be strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even on the bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain salvation. That's talking about the Jews, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It's a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, he'll also deny us, deny us a reign with him. Then it says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they not strive about words to no profit, but to subverting of the hearer. Study to show thyself approved unto God, A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase on the more ungodliness. Their word will eat as doeth a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philippus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrew the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in the great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and of earth, and some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself, these he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts. Follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a what? Pure heart. Foolish and unlearned questions, he said, avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God, prevenger, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. You got somebody that's the devil's got them ensnared? It says, and are who are taken captive at his will. And the Bible goes over to First Timothy, and look over our 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look at this. It says this, for God have not, verse 7, God have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. How's that power? How's that power come? Through prayer. Prayer. Spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So folks, when it comes down to praying, if you were going to see anything done in this Christian life, when it comes to Christians and helping other people, delivering people out of snares of the devil, and how people got their lives all messed up and families being destroyed and all that, it's going to be prayer. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look what it says here. It's important. It's important for you to see these scriptures. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, giving of thanks be made for all men. For kings, pray for those that are in charge, our president, our congressmen, our senators, and for our country. Our country's been divided, so divided. For kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a peaceable or quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And for there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher, an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ. I lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Wrath and doubting. So God gives a formula. And he gives a formula through your Bible on prayer. Go back to Matthew 6. Let's go back to Matthew 6. Prayer is our lifeline. You know, I remember, how many of y'all remember the How to Be a Millionaire? They gave you three lifelines. And the three lifelines for a Christian is Bible, prayer, and then fellowship. The lifeline for a Christian is Bible, prayer, fellowship with each other. Encouraging one another. And I read this to the church Wednesday night. A young lady came 2 weeks in a row. And she didn't come back this week. But I always tell everybody, shake hands. Encourage somebody. Take time, pray, talk to somebody. This young lady told her mother, she's from Texas, she's in the military, I'm praying she'll come back. She told her mother, and her mother sent an email to our church email. And her mother said, I'm very disheartened. My daughter came to church there 2 Sundays in a row. The first Sunday, she was wearing pants. I don't think anybody's against her woman wearing pants in here. I like to see women with dresses on that, but we're not going to say anything about that. And I go, if a woman, that's all she's got. She came in, she sat down, she said, first Sunday she was wearing pants. And she said, only two people shook her hand. And then the second Sunday, she said, she came back in her uniform, only five people spoke to her, but the people walked up and said, oh, well, you're new here. And somebody said, in the email, she said, I don't know if all this is true, but in the email, she said, are you new here? Somebody asked her, and she said, yes. And they just went, oh, walked away. And our lifeline, like I said, as a Christian, is prayer, Bible, fellowship. If you want to see other Christians encouraged, they got to feel like somebody cares. And boy, it's a blessing when you know somebody cares. And praying for them. I've been praying that young lady comes back. She doesn't get offended, then doesn't come back no more. Let's go back to Matthew 6. I'm going to have to hurry. There's so much on this. The Bible talks about a fruitfulness in prayer life. Fruitfulness. We can have fruit in our lives by prayer. The Bible says pray without ceasing. All right, look in Matthew 6 and look at verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Those disciples and the people prayed, they really needed bread. They needed something to eat. Here we are sitting in the best country in all the world. We've been blessed so much. We don't even have to think about praying, God, give us this day our daily bread. But it'd be you're a sorry Christian when you get down and eat your bread and you don't thank God for it.
Right. Amen.
And thank him for all the many blessings. I'm going with my children, my grandchildren, I'm telling them how fortunate we are, how blessed we are. But sometimes we just take it for granted. What happens if everything just dried up? Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us of our debts. Man, how many would y'all love to get your debts forgiven? You know, in the Old Testament, they had a system in Leviticus that if you borrowed money on your land and you borrowed money on your land and you couldn't pay it back, after 7 years, that land went back to you. But see, here's the thing. God knew if you could pay it back. And at the year of Jubilee, if there was a slave or whatever there was, somebody sold their whole family into slavery because they didn't have money to eat. They sold the whole family. At the year of Jubilee, they were set free. At the year of Jubilee. God had it set up so people wouldn't stay in debt. It was the way it was set up. They wouldn't stay in debt if they had to go and get food. You remember the story about Ruth. Ruth went down to Moab, and she came back with empty. She said, don't call me Naomi. She said, call me Myra. She brought Ruth back with her. And she said, don't call me Naomi. She said, call me Myra. You know what Myra means? Bitter. I'm bitter. You know what happens? You get in debt. Boy, I'll tell you what, it'll choke you. It'll choke you after death. It says, but you know, think about if God held us accountable for the debt that we owe him. If God held you accountable for what you owe him. I believe in tithing. I believe in giving. Why? Because I've seen God bless me so much in giving because he always brings it back. I've had people tell me, I don't give, I can't give, I can't afford to give. I tell you what, then you're cheating yourself. You are cheating yourself bad. I can't believe how some Christians don't want to give. They think, I don't want to enrich that church. I don't want to do that preacher. You ain't enriching me. God's given me what I need. God's taking care of me. And everybody I've ever seen that gives, and they give it faithfully and consistently, and they pray. Now, there's a formula to this thing. There's first prayer, Bible reading, keeping your heart right, giving. Those things work all together. It all works together. If you think you come in here, I'm going to give this amount of money, and I'm not reading my Bible, I'm not praying, I'm not doing all that stuff, and God's going to bless me anyway. That's not the way it works. It's got to be a formula. It's got to all work together. And God, that's the way the Lord does things. He can't bless disobedience. If you're being disobedient to him, and you don't pray, you don't read your Bible, you don't witness for him, you don't tell other people how good he is, You know what David did? When David sang praises to God, everywhere David, they said, Saul said, the Bible says Saul had an evil spirit. And he says, find me a man. Find me a man that would run that spirit out of me. They only came up with one. One guy. And he was a teenager. And he came in, and whenever he started singing, the unclean spirits were, pew, got out of there. I'm going to tell you something. This formula God set up, it works together. And I was telling somebody yesterday, we was downstairs, I was telling about all the things that we went through, pastoring the church and all that stuff. Man, it brought tears in my eyes. I was crying, thinking of how good God's been to me. And I made up my mind, I don't care how bad it is, I don't care what it happens, I'm just going to trust him anyway. Amen. I'm going to trust him. We sing that song, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Amen. I have decided. He says this, lead us not into temptation. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Somebody's done you wrong? Haven't you done people wrong? We got people sitting here right now. I don't know who you are. I don't know who you are, but I guarantee you, this crowd of people, I guarantee there'll be somebody sitting here, you're holding something against somebody. You got some grudge against somebody. And you're holding it. And you know what it's doing? It's eating your lunch. It's destroying you. Lord said, forgive them. Forgive them their debt. Whenever I've lent people money, I've lent folks money, and you know what I do? When people say, they say, I'll pay you back, I don't even think about it. I just, if I can give it, if the Lord lays on my heart to do it, I'll give it to them, and I never, when I see them, that, you know, you ever seen when people loan money to somebody, then the guy that you lend it to, every time he sees you, he avoids you. And he can be close to you, but he avoids you. Well, I've made up my mind, whenever I give somebody something, it's going to be, that's it. It's gone. The way I look at it. If they give it back to me, I think we've had two people in this church that we've given money to, and they said, we'll pay the church back. And I always think, yeah, okay. Only two people I've ever known, been here 31 years, ever paid the church back. Two people. And I couldn't believe it. I almost had a heart attack. Oh, Elizabeth! Yeah. Now look on down. It says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. When was the last time you asked God to deliver you from temptation? You know what our problem is? We hang around with it. We like to go around, hang around temptation. It's like, you know, it don't bother me, and then boom, boom, you're out. The Bible says, lead us not into temptation. If you're not going to pray, you're not going to pray that prayer. You're not going to pray that. Why? If you done made up your mind, you're going to go around temptation all you want. You're going to look at what you want. You're going to do what you want. You hear God, we get up here and talk about Facebook, talk about dirty movies, talk about all that stuff. And it goes in one ear, out the other. You say, I'm going to do what I want. And you probably will. When a person wants to do right, they don't need nobody to tell them what's right and wrong. Really, you don't need nobody to tell you what's right and wrong. I said Sunday night, you ought to have some convictions. You ought to have some Christian convictions in your life. There's some things that you're not going to do. And you say, well, oh, so-and-so does it. So-and-so does it. Those kids do it. I'm not doing it. Why? Because God don't want me to. I've got some convictions. And it's good to have convictions. I mean, if you went around pushing your convictions on everybody else, that's not good. If you went around telling everybody, you got to line up. If I did this, if I got up in this church and said, you cannot come to this church unless you live this way and we're going to check you out. I think we'd have three people in here this morning. And I might not even be here. But folks, you have to have personal convictions in your life. See, this formula works. It works. And what happens is, when I when I when I started growing as a Christian, I started getting some convictions. When I started growing, I started, and what happens was I got some convictions that I was pushing down everybody else's throat. And when a young Christian gets on fire, he gets in his Bible, he'll start saying, well, how come so-and-so ain't going out on visitation? How come so-and-so ain't witnessing? How come so-and-so, I am doing it all. And you'll get to the place where you become a Pharisee. And you'll look down your nose at everybody sitting and you say, ain't nobody right with God in here. This church is all backslidden bunch of heathen. And you'll get that attitude. And boy, and before long, I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen. You'll be out. You'll fall out because you say, ain't nobody want to serve God. I talked to a preacher on the phone, and I called him up. I said, hey, brother, how you doing? He goes, well, you knew I resigned my church. I said, you resigned? Why? You know what he said? Here's what he said. And he took over a church, a friend of mine, Jim Lentz, that died in North Carolina. And he said this. He said, nobody wanted to do nothing. And I said, that's why you resigned. I was there 18 years. Nobody wanted to do nothing. I said, well, why didn't you do something? He said, I tried, but they wouldn't let me. I said, try, they wouldn't let you. I said, I'd be doing it. I don't care what they'd said. Nobody stopped me from serving God. He hung up and changed his phone number. Didn't want me to call him back. I got on him. I said, hey, man, we need everybody. We need everybody to stand together. Lead us not into temptation. Have some convictions. Amen. If something inside you, when you look at something and something says, you shouldn't be looking at this, that's the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you're on your phone and you're saying, how many times you all been on the phone? And I've been on the phone. I walked away. I said something I shouldn't have said. The Holy Ghost went, you shouldn't have said that. And I walked. I got off the phone. And the Lord said, you shouldn't have said that. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? I hope you prayed and said, God, I'm sorry. I've had to call people back and say, look, I should have never said that. I'm sorry. I had to call preachers up and tell them I was sorry. Why? Have some convictions on what you look at. Have some convictions about church. Some people take church, take it or leave it. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ died for the church. I'm talking about believers. And the local church is the place where we come together and we encourage one another and we strengthen one another. Like I said, three, Bible, prayer, fellowship. And people have no convictions. Man, they don't come Sunday morning. They don't. If they do, hallelujah, Sunday morning. Or they don't have no conviction about Sunday night. They don't have no conviction about Wednesday night. You say, well, I got to work. I understand that. But if you're sitting home and watching TV and you think that's going to take the place of church,
yeah.
No. No, no, it does not. So all they do is gossip down there. Well, don't you gossip. So all they do is pick apart each other. No, but don't you do it. Maybe they'll die off or something.
Amen.
Lead us not into temptation. I don't want nobody to die, really. I don't want nobody to get heaven before we do. Miss Bonnie went home to be with the Lord. Miss Bonnie's there. Miss Bonnie is fellowshipping with the Lord. She's walking up and down the streets of gold. We was talking about that the other day. She's just fellowshipping with God, having a good time. Man, I envy her. Her race is over, man. But if you want to do something in this life that's going to last for eternity, you better do it while you got breath. While you got life, you better do it. It says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. You know, we're going to have the Lord's Supper here. We've got to have it here soon. And at the Lord's Supper, it says, in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. And at the Lord's Supper, I tell the church, I said, we're going to have the Lord's Supper tonight. A lot of people would not come back. I don't understand that mentality. I really can't. I can't comprehend that. They would not come back to take the Lord's Supper. They said, we don't want the Lord to judge me. I don't want the Lord to bring judgment on me. Because the Bible says, if you don't judge yourself, you will be judged. And it said, bring damnation upon yourself. So when you take the Lord's Supper unworthily, that's not getting account straight. I'm talking about, Lord, forgive me. So when we give the Lord's Supper out here, we always tell folks, take the bread, take the juice, and then examine yourself. Lord, is there anything in my life that you're not pleased with? If I'm doing, God, help me to forsake it and get it out of my life. And we take the bread and we pray. Before we take the bread, we pray, just like Jesus did. And that's what the Lord's Supper is. We do it once a year here, but probably ought to do it more. But most Christians will not examine themselves. And then when you say you're going to have the Lord's Supper, they don't show up. But why? Because they don't want to be examined. And the Holy Ghost, the God is inside you. He's going to examine you. Yeah. You say, that's a fearful thing. Yes, it is. And to a point, if you're not willing to get it right, if you're willing to get it right, I say, bring it on. Yes, sir, let's have the Lord's Supper. I'm willing to examine myself. I've said this in front of this church, and I got to quit. I said this, if you know somebody that thinks I did them wrong, I want to know. Right. I want to make it right. Yeah. And if you've done somebody wrong, make it right. Amen. That's pleasing to him. Make it right. We'll stop there. We'll have to get in maybe next week.